Welcome to Your Life Reset, a Virta Health podcast where bold stories meet breakthrough ideas. From massive weight loss wins to exploring the latest research, discover what's possible when science meets real life.
Hey there, listeners. It's Teresa Link, and you guessed it. It's our Halloween episode of Your Life Reset. Today, I am joined with my dear friend and colleague, Catherine Metzger. She's a registered dietitian and earned her PhD in spooky studies and creepyology. Just kidding. She has her PhD in nutrition. On today's episode, we'll dive into the scariest, most terrifying facts around metabolic health and how you can banish those ghosts haunting your refrigerator for good. Make sure to keep the lights on for this one. Okay, so Catherine, you and I are dressed as Rumi and Mira, right? Who are two-thirds of the K-pop trio Huntrix from the animated movie K-pop Demon Hunters. We have bonded over this, right? So for those people who haven't heard of this movie, either they've been living under a rock or they don't have kids. And like, at first I was like, what is this? And then just like every other parent, those songs, they get into your head. And then, you know, before you know it, you've got Soda Pop on repeat in your house and in my car, even when I'm
alone. And in the shower, you know, everywhere. In the shower.
Okay, so Mira, aka Catherine, are you ready to dive into some frightening facts and spooky stats? Or are you too scared?
I'm ready. Are you ready, Rumi?
I don't know. I'm a little scared, but I'm going to face my fears and do it anyway.
Let's go fight these demons.
Let's do it. So let's start with something truly terrifying. Obesity rates in the U.S. have more than tripled since the 1970s, like a monster growing bigger every decade. So what's fueling this terrifying trend?
Oh my gosh, this is really scary, right? And I think, you know, taking a step back, we can think about this, the growing obesity epidemic at the population level, but even like taking that at the individual level, this is not something that just happened overnight. It's really these slow weight gains over time that are then contributing to excess body weight. And now we have these like skyrocketing rates of obesity. But how did we get there? Like, what are the things that are causing these, you know, couple pounds a month, couple pounds over a year? What's driving that? So our environment, our food environment is not helping. It's amazing. We have access to so many foods, but there are a lot more unhealthy options out there, and they're really easy to grab. Where there are more processed foods. These are, you know, higher in calories, very calorie dense, easy to grab, but maybe not the best choices in fueling our health. But we're all probably consuming way too much, or we think we're consuming less than we really are. So some things I like to think about when I'm thinking about portion sizes is I don't recommend like measuring your stuff every single day for most people. For some, that's a really helpful tool. But I think like occasionally pulling out the food scale, pulling out, you know, your measuring cups to see what a half a cup looks like or what 3 ounces.
To check yourself, right?
To check yourself and get that visualization, because we're all like, oh, that's not that much. And you measure it like, wow, that's that serving of chips really wasn't very much, or even like fruit or yogurt, things like that. So I think, you know, different tools to kind of check your portion sizes can be helpful there. The other thing is that our plate sizes have increased over the years. And so you've probably seen this as well. And we always feel like, oh, I gotta fill my plate and I need to eat all of it. So another strategy to think about to support, you know, keeping in line with portion sizes is use smaller plates. So we have large dinner plates in our house, but very rarely do we use them. We actually use more of our salad plates, which probably are equivalent to what a dinner plate was in the 70s.
They're baked, not fried. So somehow they're good, or they're fat free. So you can have a million, or even a lot of these, you know, you got sugar free everything now, like it's still sugar free junk food. You know what I mean? So is that fueling things as well? What's kind of the difference in our food supply versus what we were, well, not, you know, not enough, but what people were eating, you know, more in 60s, 70s, or, you know, early 80s even.
I mean, our foods in general are just more processed. Thinking about these overly processed foods, so they're going to have more ingredients added. A lot of them are going to have sugar added, more preservatives, because these are things on the shelf. So they're shelf stable, which is great, but also thinking about like what helps them be shelf stable. So some of these ingredients aren't necessarily, promoting health in that sort of sense. A lot of these products, even when they're marketed as being healthy, you know, looking at those ingredients, just like what are these things? I mean, I think I texted you a few weeks ago, Teresa. I was like looking at these like gummy candies, and they were low in sugar, but they were super high in fiber. But it's not like real fiber. And I'm like, my stomach hurts looking at these things. So, you know, focusing on like more on unprocessed foods.
Right. It's like, we don't need to hate on these, you know, some of these sugar-free candies and the, you know, keto bars, and they have a place. Absolutely.
Exactly.
But when that's when that just becomes kind of what we're eating all the time, or if we think mistakenly that those are healthy and we should be eating that in place of like real food, I mean, that's where you run into some major trouble. So it sounds like it's multifactorial, right? There's not just one reason that the obesity rates are really skyrocketing. There's lots of different things that make our current environment different from, I keep wanting to say 30 years ago, but what, it's like 50, 60 years ago.
Wait, I'm like, that's only 30 years ago, but wait, that math is adding up. Maybe you know, important to then emphasize, like, this is not an individual failure issue either. You know, it is multifactorial, and there are things we can do to support, but this is not because, you know, suddenly everyone, the entire population has failed.
Right.
Which we'll talk more about.
Catherine, I think I see a ghost. It's the ghost of diabetes future.
Oh, no.
Okay. We're being lighthearted about this, but this is actually like really, you know, really scary. By 2050, that's what, 25 years from now, nearly one in three adults could be living with diabetes or pre-diabetes. So why should this chilling forecast make us scared, really? Again, we're being a little lighthearted with the words, but honestly, this is terrifying. So why should we be scared about this statistic?
Yeah, I think this is so interesting to think about of like, okay, 2050, that's not today, but we need to do things today so that we have an opportunity to not make this be true in the future. So maybe even starting back with our first question around the obesity rates that are skyrocketing, you know, this is directly related to the epidemic, also related to prediabetes and diabetes. So, you know, oftentimes people are not having one chronic disease in isolation, like everything is connected. And underlying all of these is really insulin resistance. And so that's where we have an opportunity to intervene. So part of this like growing epidemic, this, you know, ghost of diabetes future, part of the things that are driving that are related to these growing obesity rates. So we're going to see both of these continue to increase, or potentially if we don't do something. And so that really is scary because, again, once you have diabetes or once you're, you know, in the pre-diabetes range, that's setting you up for even more health complications. So again, not in isolation. Increasing risk for heart disease, you know, cholesterol, other like lab issues. There's a lot of things that are going on that are going to negatively impact our health. So it's not even just one statistic and, you know, prediabetes, diabetes, but all of these other health issues that are going to come along with that over time too.
So you and I both have young kids, and Halloween is right around the corner, right? Don't know about yours, but mine is definitely obsessed with treats, which is very common for kids, right? So this specific statistic kind of shakes me to my core, that sugar intake is linked to obesity, fatty liver disease. You mentioned all these different things, right? Obesity, fatty liver disease, type 2 diabetes, right? We're talking about not just obesity being linked, but sugar intake. So what's the most bone-chilling stat that you have seen about America's sugar habit?
I mean, there's not just one. There's a lot of really scary, terrifying stats here. So maybe like starting with on the kid front, I think one thing that's a bit terrifying to think about, and one thing I try to be really conscious of, is that a lot of children are exceeding the recommendation for their daily sugar limit by the time they've even finished breakfast. And that's probably driven by the sugary breakfast options we have that are quick because we're all trying to get out the door in the morning. And so trying to be really conscious about what those choices look like. Again, I don't want to vilify the choices and the access to things that we have, but trying to make sure that we're giving them some protein, some healthy fat, so they're also like having, adequate energy throughout the day. But I find that one scary because I'm like, well, if that's just by breakfast, like what is the rest of the day looking like for us? So I think that's one on the kid front that kind of terrifies me.
Me too. I mean, it's like, you think about a bowl of cereal. You just think about cereal, right? And it's not like we're talking about our kids eating bran flakes. A lot of kids are having like a bowl of Captain Crunch or Fruit Loops or what have you. Like, and this is marketed as breakfast. It's not like a breakfast food though. It's not a maybe it is, but it's certainly not a food that's going to provide us with any nourishment like breakfast is supposed to. It's just a bowl of sugar, and that is terrifying. It's like you're eating candy for breakfast, essentially. And if more of us, I think, knew that, maybe we'd be making some different choices. And again, it's not to vilify the foods that we're serving our kids or that we're eating ourselves. It's can we make some habit shifts and recognize too what's on the plate, what's in the bowl, and is there something that we can make even a tiny, tiny switch to help improve things? So that's, again, I think something that we can go into a little bit
Yeah,
later.
I think maybe I'll add one more thing to that is that I do think part of it is just starting to bring awareness to these things. Like we're all learning
Yeah.
every single day, or something that you thought has been, the best food, and suddenly you're like, wait a minute, I learned something else. Maybe this wasn't the best option for my needs right now. And so I think part of it is just bringing awareness to the fact, and then we can make some changes and build on those over time. The other stat that I find just interesting, and maybe back to like bringing awareness to things, is just like the amount of sugar we're even as adults that we're consuming every day. So I think the average is about that 17 teaspoons of added sugar per day. So what does that really mean or look like over the course of the year? That's almost 60 pounds of sugar. Which is quite a lot.
So we're obviously here on our Halloween episode, but really we're just embarking on like this endless season of sweets, right? It starts with Halloween, and then very quickly we're into Thanksgiving, and we're talking about pumpkin pie and apple pie and all of the like wonderful foods that we just have on occasion. And then we move into the holiday season. Of course, you've got all these holiday parties. You've got maybe you're drinking a bit more wine than usual, and you just everything is centered around food. And so really we're getting into a tough time of year. So we've got this sugar storm, right? So let's think about that. What is one strategy that we can use to keep blood sugar from turning into a horror show? During the upcoming holidays.
So this strategy, I would say, is like super relevant during the holidays, but also, you can use it all of the time and probably sounds a little bit silly or basic, but honestly, like planning your treats and not letting them plan you. So planning ahead. If you're going, you have a work party at a restaurant, pulling up the menu ahead of time and knowing what choice are you going to make. If you're maybe you're hosting for the holidays, so you can control the menu and make sure you're going to have options that work for you. If you're going to someone else's house for the holidays, what can you bring and contribute? So that way you always have something that's going to fuel your body, make you feel good, and have options. Doesn't mean you're going to be not be tempted by things. I mean, we're all human. But going in with a plan can be really powerful with that. And then maybe like a bonus thing I would think about is like you mentioned, Trace, like we're not having these foods all of the time. But I do think so, a lot of our celebrations are really food focused. And so if you're going to enjoy or indulge in something, like do it and be intentional about it. So I love strawberry pretzel salad, which not that many people outside from the Midwest know about. I have it maybe couple times a year when my mom comes to visit or I go home and I enjoy the real thing. But like, I don't know, I don't have an Aunt Linda, but Aunt Linda's fruitcake. that's not what I want to, I'm not going to enjoy that. So like, I'm going to skip Aunt Linda's fruitcake. So I think, you know, having your plan, but knowing if I'm going, I really want to have a piece of this. I really want to have a taste of this and enjoying it. And then knowing like tomorrow I'm going to get back on kind of like what I'm like doing, you know, in my regular day to day. So I think enjoyment is really a key, because you don't want to feel and not feeling shame, like being confident in your choices.
I love that you mentioned, you know, just be purposeful and enjoy something that you really love. I think that is really a far cry from, you know, August 1st, the grocery aisles are lined with Halloween candy, right? November 1st, holiday candy immediately lines the shelves. And then you hit January 1st. And it's all the chocolate for Valentine's Day, you know? Oh, and then it's Easter candy. It's like you really don't get a break from all the candy in the aisles until, like, I don't know, May. So it's around us all the time. So we've been talking about a lot of very scary facts that, you know, can kind of really bum us out. But I think you've given already hinted at some tips that we can maybe thinking about, some tips maybe we can think about primarily raising awareness to the types of foods we're eating, particularly lots of added sugars. So let's kind of switch gears and talk about, you know, how can we break this curse? You know, with stats this spooky, you know, it's easy to feel kind of trapped in this nightmare. So what's the way out, Catherine or Mira? How can we take back control?
I mean, I think that's the first step, is knowing that it's possible to take back control. We don't have to let this be our life sentence, or that this is the absolute thing that's going to happen. We have an opportunity to intervene and make a difference now. And it can feel overwhelming, because who hasn't tried, you know, all kinds of approaches and like nothing has worked. And you're like, oh my gosh, I have to change everything I'm eating all the time. I can only X, Y, Z. But how do we break that down and start with small changes? And we talked about first step, maybe it's just awareness of like, okay, what am I eating right now? Where are there some opportunities to make some tweaks? I also like to think about like, what can I add versus like, what am I taking away? So maybe I'll go on to add an extra veggie to my, maybe I'm going to swap something out. I mean, I like love mashed potatoes, which is something I don't have very often. My mom makes the best mashed potatoes. So shout out to my mom. But the rest of the time, you know, I'm actually okay with like cauliflower mash, but I'm going to enjoy my mom's mashed potatoes. But you know, that's a great swap. Cauliflower can do everything, but I think that mindset is really powerful of like, oh my gosh, I can't have all these things, but what can I have and what can I add to what I'm already eating versus taking away? So those small changes will build over time. And that's what can build these like sustainable habits. And have a large impact in our health, and prevent, you know, diabetes, prevent excess body weight, prevent all of these other things that we've been talking about.
Okay. So I have an example. I have come into your office as you're a dietitian. I've come into your office. I have been giving my kids, skim milk with Cocoa Krispies for the past, as long as I can remember. And that's basically all they have for breakfast. So do I have to totally give that up? Or is there something that you mentioned, something that I could add to that? Or how could I maybe change that up a little bit, so we're getting my kids a little bit more nutrition and not just a bowl of sugar, as I've kind of learned?
Maybe reduce the amount of, did you say cocoa? Your cereal. You're reducing your portion size. And then maybe you are eventually like moving towards going to give them yogurt with fruit.
You kind of got me thinking about something. So there is a type of yogurt that I've been trying to get my kid to like. It's actually, I like it because it's full fat, and it's like, it's just vanilla, and it's sweetened with stevia, and it's sweet but not too sweet. Right? It's pretty low in sugar. I don't think there's any added sugar, actually. What if I had some of that and then we added some cocoa pebbles on top? Would that be better?
That's so good. Because you could think of that of being, you know, like the crunchy part of your parfait, and you could layer this and make it fun. But yeah, like it, I think that's another example of, okay, maybe your kids are like, I can't go on if I don't have Cocoa Krispies. So how can we still have some of that, but we're not having the same amount? So it's like, there's always that balance.
It from here.
How can we make, exactly. Better choices.
Yeah. So I love that. We're adding something. And honestly, I think that a lot of kids would probably love that. It's almost like sprinkles on top of full fat yogurt, which we actually had this morning. But yeah, you're making a better choice. And then it's not like saying throw out all the cereal and just have your fruit and nut and full fat yogurt parfait, you know, with a side of eggs and organic vegetables. You know, we're talking about what can we do now and make it a little bit better, make it even, you know, 10% healthier, and then we can move on from there. So awesome. Thank you for some of those practical tips. And I think they're relevant for all of us, not just children, not just, you know, everyone.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, we talked about some of these easy swaps that we can kind of make. What other tips might you provide for us to be able to kind of break this curse that we were talking about?
I think another important thing to think about is kind of accountability and support. It can feel really isolating and, again, overwhelming when you're trying to make changes and you're not sure where to start. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member that you're, you know, providing accountability and support for each other. And there's research around when you share your goals or your intentions with someone else, that's a form of accountability. It's like, wait, I don't want to let this other person down. There's a ton of groups on Facebook. You know, you can find people going through similar experiences. And I'm a big proponent of like, yeah, how do you have these shared experiences of like, we're going through these things together?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hearing, you know, you can find something virtually. You can find something in person. You can just have like a buddy. You can have a family member. I mean, really, it's all about that community. But we have to be intentional, right? We have to try to put our goals out there, at least to maybe one other person, at least say them out loud.
Yeah. Scary.
For us to be able to move
forward.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Catherine, this has been spooky, but also hopeful and a lot of fun. So I'm going to close things out by taking you to the hot seat. And what that is a rapid fire question answer. So don't think about it too hard. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So my first question, candy corn, yay or nay?
Definitely nay.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm not supposed to answer, but seriously, I do. Oh, my gosh. I love candy corn. I don't know. Moving on. All right. Chocolate or Skittles?
Definitely chocolate.
Yeah. Chocolate all day long.
Yeah. No
Absolutely.
Competition.
Yeah. No competition. Yeah. All right. Scary movies, yes or no? And if yes, what's your favorite?
So I don't really love scary movies. I do love to read a good thriller, but I do like a Lifetime movie. So does that fall into the scary movie category?
It depends. Yeah, could be. It could be if that's, you know, if you develop a scary habit of watching a lot of Lifetime movies. But, you know, that's up. We'll leave that private. How about? Okay, silly question. What's something that you're scared of that's kind of silly?
Parking. I don't know if scared is the right word, but it really stresses me out. And I'm like, what is the parking situation going to be at this place? What if I can't find parking? What if it's only parallel parking? Anyway, that's something that scares me because I also don't love driving.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Who ends up with more Halloween candy in your house, your 7-year-old or your 5-year-old?
Probably the 5-year-old, because he's definitely going to take whatever he wants from the 7-year-old, too.
Sounds about right. And then what's the cutest or the funniest Halloween costume that your kids have ever worn?
So for my daughter's first Halloween, this is when I had so much free time, we were like an ice cream sundae. And so I had made these like sprinkles out of felt, and like I was strawberry ice cream. My husband was chocolate. And then Riley was, you know, the vanilla. And then I made this little cute little hat with a cherry on top. It was so cute. So that one was really good. And then a couple years ago, Emery decided he wanted to be a ghost, which was basically a sheet with eyes on it, but it was just like, he really owned it. And it was pretty funny.
All right. And now, what's the best costume you've ever worn?
I mean, honestly, it's probably this, you know, and this is setting a high bar for future Halloweens. Future crossed.
Absolutely. And future Halloween podcast episodes.
Oh, for right? sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, Catherine, this has been so much fun having you join me on today's Halloween themed podcast of Your Life Reset. I think we have to close because I'm starting my very heavy braid is starting to fall off. I hope you have a wonderful season of sweets, and thanks for all your tips so that we are not getting too much of that, but really enjoying our time and how we can really take control without letting it take control of us, right? Isn't that
what
you said?
That's right.
All right. Well, I hope to have you back very soon, definitely next year for our, we'll do an inaugural Halloween themed episode.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. And if you'd like to regain control of your metabolic health and feel like yourself again, check us out at Virta.com. That's Virta.com. Your Life Reset is for informational purposes only and shouldn't be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Contact your provider if you suspect you have a medical problem. I'll chat with you all again soon. Until then, stay inspired, my friends.